This morning we're turning to the portion we read in 2 Samuel chapter 15, a chapter which begins with the sad story of treachery and betrayal. Absalom, the son of David, having killed his brother Amnon, now seems to be discontent with his lot, and he espies the throne of Israel. And so he begins at the start of chapter 15 with a manipulative campaign to steal the hearts of his fellow countrymen away from loyalty to his father. And as support gathers, he is strengthened, and so he commences a military coup to overthrow the reign of his father from Jerusalem. In the middle of the chapter, we find David, who seems to have been somewhat surprised by this. He's in a position of weakness. He commences a strategic retreat from the city of Jerusalem in verse 14 to verse 16. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servant said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. You can imagine David's heart is breaking. His son is revolting against him. But not only his son, many who were formerly faithful to David, like Ahithophel, who had been David's close and faithful counselor. In the midst of this sea of treachery, however, there stand a number of islands of loyalty. You have Zadok the priest. You have later in the chapter Hushai that he sends back to be his plant in the city that will send word out to David and overturn and confound the council of Ahithophel. But yet there's one among all these who appears particularly rock-like. And I imagine he was a tremendous encouragement to David at this time. And he's going to be, I hope, a wonderful means of instruction to you and I this morning. In many ways, he is the most unlikely of heroes. His name is Ittai the Gittite. Ittai the Gittite. Now, as soon as you say that, his name kind of grabs you. There's a rhythm to it. So, children, when you go home and maybe mum and dad ask you this evening, what was the pastor preaching on this morning? I expect you're going to be able to answer this question. He was preaching on Ittai the Gittite. But the name is significant for far more than its rhythm. You see, Ittai means with me. And he's very well named because his name kind of mirrors the relation that he has here with David. It's one of those names you wonder, was it his original name or was it the name that David later gave to him because of his faithfulness to him? We read of him in chapter 17 and following. The king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was far off, and all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Kerethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. And the king then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile." Every time David would have called this man's name after the account here, you would imagine that he's struck once again with what that name represents. With me. Here's a man who stood with me. Now, Ittai is not an Israelite. He's a Gittite. That means he's a Philistine. And he's not just any Philistine, because there in verse 18 you learn that Gittites were men from Gath. He's not the only Philistine who's with David. There are 600 men here from Gath. But here is a man, a Philistine, from Gath, the city of Goliath, a town that would have had historically great enmity and animosity to David. David is the man who killed their great champion. And yet in this portion, Ittai stands as a monument of loyalty to the Lord's anointed. Well, we want to consider him, and as we do so, we're going to move from Ittai's loyalty to David, who was the Lord's anointed in this passage, to your and my loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, of course, God's anointed Saviour. And the question will be here and at the end, would Christ be able to look at you and say of you, here is Ittai. Here is someone who is with me. Loyalty to the Lord's anointed. Well, the first thing we want to consider here is willing loyalty. Ittai is an example of willing loyalty. David, as we mentioned, is surprised by Absalom's coup. And he organizes his withdrawal for the sake of the city, that he might preserve the city and also himself and those faithful to him. And that will give him time to plan his counterattack to get the kingdom back. And so together with his family and his faithful soldiers, he moves east. He will cross the brook Kidron and he will head at length beyond the River Jordan to take shelter there. Now verse 17 takes place a safe distance from the city. When the people stop and David sees all those who are faithful pass by him. You see that in verse 17. And the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on before him. And as the servants pass by, he spots Ittai. And in verse 19, he comes to him with a question. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. In verse 20, he gives us more detail, telling us that this Philistine in particular has but recently come and abode with David and his people in Jerusalem. Verse 20, whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may, return thou, and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. So he says, verse 19, why are you here? You don't have to come, Ittai. You've just recently arrived. You're a man of but yesterday. And on two occasions, he says to him, return. Return to the city, Ittai. Ittai answers and declines this offer in verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. He declines his offer to return. And he confesses to David his willing, uncompelled allegiance. Something has happened in Ittai's heart and life. Something that brings him from being a Philistine inhabiting the city of Gath to a new willing service of the King of Israel. What happened? Well, in the first place, he changed his God. He changed his God. Dagon and others were the gods of the Philistines. But look at what Ittai says in verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, as Jehovah liveth. That's a remarkable testimony from the mouth of a Philistine. As the Lord liveth. To put this in context for you today, where is this man from? He is from the city of Gath, or modern-day Gaza. This is like someone from the Gaza Strip. This is like a member of Hamas pledging his loyalty to Benjamin Netanyahu. something radical has gone on here. This Philistine has changed his God. He has left the religion of his fathers behind him. He has bidden farewell to Dagonism. And he has pledged his allegiance to the Lord Jehovah. And as a stranger outside the covenant people of God, he has come like Ruth to place his trust under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty Lord. He has changed his God. But then secondly, he has chosen his king. He has chosen his king. Now, he has but recently arrived, and it would be fair to say that he doesn't understand everything that there is to know about Israel's God and Israel as a people. And he enters into the church, the covenant people of God, having left paganism behind him, and he walks right into the context of civil war. He has a choice to make. Who's the rightful king? And in verse 19, when David speaks to him, what does he say? Then said the king to Ittai the Gittai, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. He's referring to Absalom. Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Now, how does Ittai answer in verse 21? And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. This Philistine comes to Israel. He is but of yesterday. And he says, there is no king for me but David. Absalom, he's the pretender. No, David, I won't go back to the city. I won't go to Absalom. I will come with you. What a wonderful example of Christian devotion. What a glorious picture of a sinner coming to place his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not force. There are many opportunities to do something else or to pledge allegiance to something else. But the heart of those who were formerly at enmity against Christ are made willing to come to him. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Former enemies. They leave their old life behind. They abandon their old gods and their religions. And they say, the Lord is my God, and there is no other king but Jesus. This passage reminds us that it is very surprising who comes to place their allegiance in Christ. Very surprising. Here, the Philistine, who was outside the covenant people of God. The uncircumcised Philistine. And yet he owns the King of Israel as his sovereign. It's a wonderful thing when that happens today, isn't it? Those who are outside of the church. The uncircumcised in that regard, strangers to the covenants of promise. Yet what does the Lord do? By the preaching of Christ, he makes them willing so that they might change their gods, so that they might choose their king, and for the rest of their lives pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ. He brings people from outside. But then he does the same from inside. There were many in Israel and they were circumcised in the flesh, but they weren't circumcised in heart. And so there are in the church today many baptized outwardly with water who are not baptized by the Spirit and changed in the inner man. But what happens? God, through the preaching of Christ, secretly, powerfully, makes them willing in a day of his power. so that they who were formerly dead are brought to life, and those who were formerly enemies are made the friends and the loyal subjects of Jesus Christ. Oh, he doesn't force us. In the secret of his heart, or our hearts, he makes us willing so that we desire Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our Lord. Has he made you willing? Has he made you willing to change your gods, whatever they are, in this muddled culture of ours? Has he made you willing to choose Jesus Christ to be your king and to say, I will have this man to reign over me? If he has, brethren, then that change is the seed of all your future loyalty and service to Christ. He has made you willing in a day of his power. He has not forced you or beaten you or compelled you against your will. He has brought you sweetly to yield yourself to him as you delight in him. Ittai is an example of willing service. Ittai, or willing loyalty, Ittai is also an example of ready loyalty. Ready loyalty. Something that we've been mentioning before, we want to focus on now. Verse 20, whereas thou camest but yesterday. Go back, Ittai. You've only recently arrived. Now, why would David say this to this man? Well, one possibility is it could be a test. The stakes are high. David is going to be especially cautious at this uncertain time. And here's a Philistine who has but recently arrived in Jerusalem, and David doesn't really know him very well. The obvious question is he really for me? Or is he going to be traitorous? Will he be for Absalom? Maybe it's a test. On the other hand, it could be a kindness, where David doesn't really want to bind someone so newly arrived to come with him to such hardship and perhaps death. You don't know me well enough to be loyal to me. That kind of question. Whatever the purpose of David was, Ittai, though so recently joined his ranks, will go forward with him. Is that not another mark of our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? That no matter how old that devotion is, it is always ready to serve him. It's always ready to serve him. You see, when you become a Christian, you enlist in a life of service. And that life of service comes to you with the promise of trouble. Now, some profess to enlist in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Ittai. But when that trouble comes, they fall away. Remember how Jesus speaks of this in the parable of the sower. Turn to Mark chapter 4 and look with me at verse 16, where Jesus is interpreting the stony ground hearer. Mark chapter 4 and the verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown in stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Oh, immediately they respond. There seems to be this profession of loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, but trouble comes. And that allegiance melts away like butter upon a hot knife. Well, look at Ittai. He's just recently arrived. He's professing great things. Yes, David, I want to be with you. Now he's challenged. Do you really want to be with me? Do you know what you're getting yourself into? And Ittai says, in a sense, I do. And I'm willing to render self-denying commitment unto you, even to the point of death. Brethren, when God comes to a soul in this work of grace, he brings a spirit of self-denying commitment to the hearts of his people. It's how you are, but of yesterday, he says, yes, forget about that. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. Are you considering Christ here this morning? You say, well, the gospel is preached, and I look at all of the pros and cons. I look at the benefits that are to be received, and they are many. But here is the life of discipleship. You need to reckon with this. That Jesus says to you, come freely and I will give you myself and eternal salvation. But while you come freely and take, yet this is a life of absolute commitment to me. Will you still take him? In many ways today in our culture, Jesus is like David. He's being cast out. He's being sent into exile. There's an anti-Christ kind of coup going on where our culture will not have the Lord to reign over them. And the Christian says, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him into exile. I'm going to pursue him outside the camp. You need to reckon with this if you're considering coming to Jesus Christ. But then, are you recently converted? Like Ittai, you are but of yesterday. Well, then I need to remind you again that you must give your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must do it from the start. It's not something that you graduate into later. Well, you know, I'm a brand new Christian. I don't have to get into that commitment stuff until later on. No, if you are but of yesterday, this is exactly what you're called to. To say to the Lord Jesus Christ, now and always, I am yours. I beg to do what you say. I want to go where you lead. Whatever that brings to me in the Christian life. Children, you from your earliest days, maybe you're a little bit like Ittai, you are but of yesterday, and yet the Lord says to you, will you follow me? And you say yes, and from your youngest days, the same commitment is called for. Lord, I am yours, I want to know what you say, I want to go where you lead, no matter what that brings to me in life. Maybe I can put it in this way to you this morning. To each one of you as you sit in your chair, how will you answer this question? Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with me, seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. How would you answer that question? Will you stay or will you come? Do you have that principle of ready obedience in your heart? Like Ittai. And what if you've been long saved? And maybe this morning your zeal has cooled somewhat. There were some people in this chapter, and they had long been loyal to David. One of them was Ahithophel. And yet Ahithophel stands in Samuel and the book of Psalms as the forerunner of Judas Iscariot. And those Psalms that David writes about Ahithophel are taken up in the New Testament and applied to Judas of Christ. Ittai's loyalty stands out all the more over against the betrayal of men like Ahithophel. So the question comes to you. You have been long loyal to David. would you still follow him into exile? Would you still say, like Ittai, whether in death or in life, even there also will thy servant be? In 2 Samuel chapter 15, whose loyalty is yours most like? Ahithophel's or Ittai's? You see, whatever stage of the journey we're on, whether we're long converted or we're not, this same principle of ready loyalty must characterize our lives. Thirdly, courageous loyalty. Courageous loyalty. We see it there in verse 21, those words at the end of the verse. Whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. To follow David is not as popular now as it once was. There was a time when the Israelites ran through the streets and they sang songs about this man. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. But now it's actually dangerous to be loyal to David. They're in the minority. Absalom has manipulated things so that the hearts of the men of Israel are on his side. And listen, Ittai knew that. That's why he says this in verse 21. I realize, David, that following you might mean the end of my life. But even if it means death, I'm going to follow. Well, we can elaborate further on what we were saying earlier about people who profess Christ. There are some who profess, and through time they really prove that their Christianity is no more than a matter of convenience to them. You look at their Christian life, and it's characterized by an utter lack of commitment. The church may be there for me when I want it or when I need it, but at the end of the day, my life comes first. That kind of person would have stayed in Jerusalem. David, we like you, and yeah, we've had good times together, but it's a little bit too dangerous to follow you here. It's going to be somewhat inconvenient to me. Many professing Christians like that. They want to be on the side of the Lord's anointed when religion is going, like Bunyan says, walking through the streets in her silver slippers. But they don't want anything to do with Christ when religion walks through the streets in its rags. That's an inconvenience to me. The true saint of God is willing to bear the reproach of Christ, no matter what. The Christian is willing to stand with Jesus when everyone is crying, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Just like Ittai. The hardship of exile, the threats of the enemy, whatever the path involves. Loyalty. Loyalty to the Lord's anointed is what is going to govern my heart. So if you are loyal to Christ this morning, you are going to stand with him where he stands. You are going to defend him where he is attacked. Despite the hardships. And you are going to be loyal at all times to his word, to his church, and to his people. In some ways, that's easy for you today because we do worship so freely. We don't live in the imminent danger that Ittai was walking into here. isn't it sad that when we have that freedom and there's no threat to our lives, that people can kind of take church or leave it? What does that say about loyalty to Jesus? Imagine following our forefathers to the catacombs. Imagine walking with our Presbyterian fathers in Scotland to dens and places in the field which at length in the killing times, even to be found on the road going to a meeting, meant death. Many people would turn up then. Do we have this spirit of courageous loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ? There are Christians today, and I mentioned them in my prayer earlier, 200 of them this week killed in Nigeria. Many of them returning from the funeral of a Christian minister ambushed and mowed down with automatic weapons. How would you do in that kind of context? Would you answer Christ the way Ittai answered David? Go back, Ittai. It's too dangerous. You don't need to get involved in this. Would you say no? I'm on your side, Lord. And whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. This is what Christianity calls for. You either save your life or you lose it. And if we're not losing our life in all the little things, don't think for a moment that you would be willing to lose your life in the big things. Don't think that you would suffer for Jesus or go to jail for Jesus or die for Jesus if you can't even do the basic things. Like get out to church for Jesus. We have an echo of these words of Ittai in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He says, I'm ready to die. I just want God to be glorified in my life, whether it is by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's like a New Testament articulation of what Ittai is saying. I will follow you whether it means death or whether it means life. Courageous loyalty. But then finally, acknowledged loyalty. In verse 22, we read, and David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. He brings his household after him in loyal service of David. Well, he continued loyal to David. And when we come to chapter 18, verse 2, David notes now the loyal service of Ittai the Gittite. Chapter 18, verse 2, and David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth and following. Think about this. Here's a man who in chapter 15, David says, you've only come but yesterday. You don't have to follow me. And he says, no, Lord, I'm following you. Or, no, David, I'm following you. And by the time we get to chapter 18, this man has manifested such loyalty to David that David puts him in charge of a third part of the host of his army. Now, I have no doubt that Ittai's loyalty to David was not motivated by this. He's not thinking, well, you know, if I leave Jerusalem and I go after David, there's opportunity for me here to advance in his army. He doesn't appear to be motivated by that. But his loyalty is acknowledged, and Ittai is honored. Brethren, if David noted and rewarded such faithfulness in the experience of Ittai, how much more will our Lord Jesus Christ acknowledge and reward the faithful service and loyalty of his people? No, it's not our motive. We don't sit down and calculate, well, if I do this, this, and this, the Lord's going to be so impressed with me and I'm going to advance and gain recognition. We're not motivated in that way. But we do recognize that the path to exaltation is by willing, ready, courageous loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a wonderful picture and shadow of it here in the life of Ittai. As we close, as Ittai gave himself to David, so you and I are to give ourselves to Christ. I come back to that question. As you sit here this morning, can Christ look at you and call you Gittai? Can he say of you, here is a man who is with me. Here is someone who's abandoned their gods. Here is someone who's chosen their king. Because if you are not with him, and if you are not for him, you are against him. Absalom's coup didn't work out well, by the way. David was restored to his rightful position as king of Israel, and so it will be to all God's enemies. But if you are for Christ, then, like Ittai, be for Christ with all that you are for all of your life. Loyalty to the Lord's anointed. Let's stand for prayer.